From Nevada Public Radio, I'm Joe Shaneman. It's State of Nevada. Our trucks, our cars, we can't live without them. But they're many times the object of so much pain, turmoil, and angst in our lives. There's the little things like brake pads, burned out fuses, eroded wiper blades, and the big things, gaskets, alternators, fuel injectors. And we're just driving these vehicles. We don't really know what's going on under the hood when we hear these strange noises. But I have two people with me today that might have a better idea of what's going on with your vehicle and might help point you in the right direction for help. And my guests are Frank Scandura. He's the owner of Frank's European Car Service on North Rainbow. And Jim Bull. He's the chair of the Department of Applied Technologies at the College of Southern Nevada. Frank, James, thanks for joining us.
Hello, good morning, and thank you.
Frank, I'm going to start with you. We just went through this brutal summer. I wonder what kind of vehicle problems that created. What kind of heat-related things were people dealing with that you saw?
Well, everything that's made out of rubber tends to disintegrate more rapidly because of our climate than more mild climates. Batteries are more sensitive than ever to failure. And our air conditioning systems are under enormous pressure. And especially a lot of cars have remote start now. So people are starting their cars 10, 15, 20 minutes before they get in them to get the cabins cooled off. So we're really putting a huge demand on some of those systems.
How can you tell? I this is a personal thing, and I want to get some of these questions from our listeners. But I just noticed in the last week, it felt like my AC, even though it's cooler, wasn't getting cool quick. And after I drove for about 10 minutes, it would get cold. Is that a sign that it's going bad?
It's not necessarily going bad, but could have something going on. AC systems don't generally go bad unless they're neglected. In other words, if there's a small leak in the system, the refrigerant carries the oil that lubricates the compressor. So a lot of times it'll get low on refrigerant, low on that lubricant, and then it's like running your engine out of oil. It could have devastating results.
So I should get refrigerant in it?
You should get it checked, absolutely.
Get it checked, okay. Yep. And this email is from Josephine in Southwest Las Vegas, who wrote in and said, "Thanks for doing this show. I'm new to town and never know where to go for good help. For instance, I recently called a plumber to unclog the washer drain. Then he noticed some rust on the water heater and told me it was going to break open soon. That was 6 years ago, and it hasn't happened yet. What I'm saying is, who do we trust? How can you tell if a mechanic is not just good, but honest and won't try to get you to do more things that aren't really necessary?" Frank, I'm going to turn to you again on this.
And that's really good questions, especially when you move into a new community, because when you move, you need a doctor, a hairdresser, and a mechanic. Right.
That's true.
Those are the three big things. And you have to start with online reviews. You have to start with something small. Don't wait until you have a major problem. Get your oil changed or have something minor checked on a car. And you want to know how the shop's going to communicate with you. Transparency is the new trust today. And there's a lot of really good information out there to educate yourself. AutotechIQ.com is one of those websites where you can learn about the symptoms on your car and see specific fixes. Does the shop have a digital inspection process where they can send you pictures of your car? Right. Some will take a picture of a water pump and say, your water pump's bad. And we'll use a picture of a water pump and clearly state, this is not your water pump, but this is what happens when a water pump goes bad. This is why you should be concerned about it.
That's awesome.
And
do that.
We will take pictures of things that we discover in your car because we believe in transparency. And understand there's maintenance items that need to be done on your car that you may not be familiar with, but that doesn't mean the shop is necessarily trying to sell you something you don't need. Yeah. A good, reputable shop will want to make recommendations to help your car last a long time. And it will ask those questions at intake. What does this car mean to you? Oh, my gosh, this car is, my grandmother bought it for me when I was in college. I just want to keep it for another 10 years. Okay, that's a service plan that's going to be different than the person who comes in and says, that pile of junk, if it lasts me 6 months, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Right? So you have to really understand what it is that you're trying to get out of your car. And I was telling Christopher earlier, if you haven't gone car shopping, you need to. You'll throw up in your mouth a little bit. The prices of cars today is just, it's mind-boggling.
You mean super high?
Super high. So now we have to really think about, and the average age of a car right now is like 12 and a half years, almost 13 years, right? And I got a 2011 F-150 I drive. I'm right in that window. So that means we have to consider, do I need to do things to keep this car well-maintained so that it'll last me a long time, which is entirely possible.
Are tune-ups every year or every 2 years recommended? How often do you recommend?
Man, personally, the word tune-up really should be taken out of our vocabulary.
Oh.
What we need to do is get your owner's manual out, get your maintenance manual out. It will say in there, spark plugs, replace them every, I'm using a number, 60,000 miles or 5 years. Don't wait until you have a problem. Transmission fluid should be replaced on a regular basis. Differential fluid on a regular basis. We're all conditioned to change oil, but what about all the other fluids in the vehicle?
Great advice. Monica from Las Vegas has a question about her catalytic converter. Welcome, Monica.
Hi, good morning. Thank you.
Sure. Go ahead.
So, of course, they stole my catalytic converter out of my 08 Honda Element, and I had it replaced in 2021, and they said it was OME, but I'm hearing that OME certified versus OME whatever it is two different things. Well, so now when I accelerate, the whole car rattles.
That's probably not related to your catalytic converter, and what you're referring to is actually OEM, original equipment manufacturer, which you get from the dealership, or OEM quality, which means, hey, this is the same or better standards in the manufacturer, which a lot of times can be less expensive and is not a bad idea. The rattling could be something on the exhaust system that's loose. It should certainly be checked because you never want to have a noise go unchecked because it'll never get better. But it may not necessarily be related to the type of catalytic converter they put on.
Anything else, Monica?
Let's say it is the catalytic converter. Do those typically have long warranties? I know the labor doesn't, but what about the catalytic converter itself?
Well, it depends on who put it on. It's sad. Going back to, I think it was Josephine's question earlier, mm-hmm. warranty is another thing to check. You should use a shop that has a long parts and labor warranty, and any reputable shop will stand behind that if it's defective. I would give them an opportunity to ask them first. So, hey, I'm hearing a rattle. Would you be willing to double check your work before we do anything else? And a good guy will do that for you.
And Jim Bull, this reminds me of, I recently had the engine mounts in my car replaced. They would not use parts unless they were from the original manufacturer. And I was like, why? It's so much cheaper. And they said it would wear out quicker.
Wear out quicker. Low quality parts are no bargain. You'll pay more in the long run for using a cheaper part than you will using a good high quality part.
It's so expensive though.
and let me ask you, how long ago did you replace engine mounts on your car?
About 6 months ago.
No, before that.
Oh, never.
Right. So you'll probably not do it again.
Well, I hope not.
Unless you put cheap mounts on it, then you'll be back in a year or two.
No, I plan to drive this car until the metal wears off. I'm here with Jim Bull. He's the chair of the Department of Applied Technologies at the College of Southern Nevada. And Frank Scandura, owner and a mechanic at Frank's European Car Service. These guys know, I'm going to say, everything about cars. So call in with your issues.
I don't know everything, but I've read a few books.
All right. And Sina from Las Vegas, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
I drive a 2005 Toyota Highlander. It is a very old and very reliable car. And lately, first thing in the morning, when I turn on the car, when I click the ignition, I get a squeaking, like squealing sound that I thought might be a belt. So I took it to the mechanic, and they couldn't find anything wrong with anything, and said that it was probably some dirt that got in something and it'll work its way out. Well, it hasn't. And now that I haven't been able to really diagnose it, I'm obviously a little concerned that it could be something even worse than just changing a belt. And that's what I'm calling about, why there's like the squeaking sound first thing in the morning when
Jim,
I turn the car on.
Thank you, Sina. Jim, I'm going to start with you. What are your thoughts?
Well, diagnosing over the phone, my first thought would be a belt also. It could be a tension problem. It could be age of the belt. Just like with tires, they get dry. They lose their stickiness of the rubber itself and could cause a slipping, which gives a squeak. Since I wasn't there to look at it, I don't know if it was warm when it got brought into the mechanic or if it was cold because, as she just mentioned, it happens in the morning when she starts it.
Okay. And Frank, when she mentioned that they couldn't find anything wrong, you put your – hand to your head like, oh my gosh.
That irritates me so much.
Okay.
You have better things to do than bring your car in with a made up story. There's a legitimate concern.
Yeah.
And my favorite customer is the woman driver, because she wants to know what's going on, why it's happening, what do I need to do, what will happen if I don't do it.
Very specific questions.
Very, very specific. Mm-hmm. And what Jim said nailed it. You have to probably leave your car at the shop overnight so they can start it up very first, cold in the morning, just like you experienced the problem. And as inconvenient as that is, it's really important. And shop owners, if you're listening, cut the nonsense. Don't waste your customers' time. So maybe there's dirt in there. It'll work out. Go sell your tools and go sweep floors in Home Depot. You have no business taking care of customers.
Right.
I'm sorry to be so bold and direct, but it's outrageous.
Nobody wants to hear that. You're entirely right. We have this question in from Alonzo, who says, whenever I turn on the air conditioning or start the car with the air conditioner already turned on, I hear the steady knocking noise for about 7 seconds, and then it stops for the rest of the ride. What might be happening? Should I take it in?
It's very specific, 7 seconds. You should absolutely take it in, because noises don't generally get better over time. There could be something... there's so many things. I'm not going to try to guess what it is, but you do want to know what it is. And obviously, it's air conditioning related, so it could be something within the compressor, which could end up in a catastrophic failure if you don't do it now, and that gets more expensive to fix later.
You know, I like doing the shows because some of these problems that people call in about I've had or I do have. For instance, if I have my air conditioner on the lowest level, the fan, I hear a knocking sound. But if I turn it on higher, the knocking sound goes away. So I'm sure it's the fan hitting something. Mm-hmm. Does that matter, or should I just let it go? I mean, why fix the fan if it's going to cost me a couple $100?
Because it'll probably stop working when you need it most. You're on your way to the airport, you're picking up an important dignitary, and you're coming back, and the AC stops working, and now you're embarrassed. Is that worth it?
All right, I'll do that. Bubwanda, the name is Bubwanda, and Pahrump says, I like to keep my car clean, and I mostly do, but the paint has chipped off the front bumper down by the tires. Is there a quick way to fix that? Or do I have to have the whole thing repainted? Jim?
Great question. It depends on how perfect you want it to look. If you want it perfect, you have to go to a body shop and have it refinished. If you want it to look good from 20 feet away, there are plenty of businesses that will do a paint repair to at least make the color look good. Oh. So it really depends on what you want to spend.
Is that expensive to do the quick and dirty?
I've seen people come to your house and do it for $50. And I've seen where you got to take it in and spend between 500 and thousands for paint repair, depending on how extensive it is.
Okay. I had some guys stop by my car. I have so many stories. I'm
in a parking lot.
But playing basketball in a parking lot.
That's
and he came
scam.
Up. He put some Bondo or something on and spray painted it.
Said, all you got to do is go get it painted now.
Yeah. Yeah. Jillian in Summerlin wrote in and said, When I hit the gas on my pickup, it's an early 90s model Ford that I love. Black smoke spews out of the tailpipe. It's embarrassing. I have people shake their fists and give me the finger. What causes that?
The people giving the finger? Just anger issues. The black smoke would probably be oil consumption, either valve guides or rings on the pistons that are worn out. Typically, if it's valve guides, it'll be smoke on startup in the morning. And rings if we're getting a puff of smoke when you hit the gas.
Are these, Frank, cheap things to repair?
There's a lot of chemicals on the market right now that can help clean up combustion chambers, carbon buildup on valves, the piston rings where they seal the cylinder, get gummed up over time. It might be worth looking into that. BG is one of the manufacturers. Winz is another one, so check with your service provider.
What about gaskets? Is there a chemical that could seal a gasket that might be blown?
Yeah, don't do that. The gaskets get hard and brittle over time, and those chemicals usually soften them up, which means they soften up the good ones and can cause more damage than not. Stop leak and any sealing stuff is to be avoided at all costs.
That is great advice. This is from DJ in Green Valley. He says, I have this really sleek-looking 2012 or 13 VW CC. I'm not sure if they even make them anymore. Anyhow, beautiful car, but I took it to a VW mechanic because when I braked, it kept pulling to the right. He said the bushings were bad. First, what's a bushing? Second, can I keep driving it this way? Because he said the cost was going to be about $2,000.
Great question. Pulling to the right, it could be the left side caliper. If it's bushings, you ask what they are. They allow movement, a limited amount of movement, and as bushings wear, we can get clunking. If it's a lower control arm bushing, it could cause a shift in the wheel position, which could cause the pull to the right like he's complaining about. I would like to have a better description of which bushing it is or what the actual problem is.
But bushing, though, where is this thing called a bushing?
Think of a pivot point between the wheel and the frame of the car. So we have to allow movement. And where that movement occurs is a pivot. And that pivot has to have a hard rubber coupler, so to speak. Otherwise, it'd be a metal-on-metal connection.
And so that rubber just wears out. Does it wear out more in this heat that we have here? Do you see a lot of these in your shop?
We see a lot of bushings. And I would highly recommend you get it fixed as soon as possible. And I'll tell you why. Just the fact that the car is pulling to one side is kind of inconvenient. Until you, in a panic situation, you need to hit those brakes hard and the car darts to one side. You could hit a car next to you. It's very difficult to control the vehicle. Bushings are a very high priority safety item. And it's something, something that should certainly be done as quickly as possible.
Dwight from Las Vegas, welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm calling the reps to an issue. I drive a European car. And I lived in Germany for 13 years, and I was told anytime you change your brake pads, change your rotors because they're designed to wear out together, number one. Also, you can get the parts cheaper online, OEM parts, than you can from the dealership. They double the price. They quoted me at $3,500 to change brake pads and rotors, and I can get all the parts OEM for $1,200. So, you know, why is there such a big markup on items?
What's going on there, Frank?
Be very, very careful of your online source. There are a lot of counterfeit parts online that come in OE boxes or packaging that are not right. OE, number one. If there's such a huge price difference, you got to ask yourself why. So safety, warranty are very important considerations. And I would say be super leery of what you're seeing online.
Is $3,500, let's say he has got to replace four. And first of all, do you agree that pads go out at the same time rotors do? And
no.
It's 35. Okay. So that's one answer. Yeah. $3,500 seems like a lot.
It depends on the car. You know, some of the performance cars, AMGs, M-classes, R-classes on Audis tend to have very, very expensive brake components. I would get a second opinion. If the dealership told you $3,500, you might find a local source that will put same quality brakes on the car, stand behind them for a period of time. But to answer the question, I think this is really important. Every time you do pads, you have to do rotors is incorrect. Brake rotors have a minimum thickness stamped right on the rotor, and you measure it with a micrometer. And let's say, for example, 21 millimeters is the minimum thickness, and a micrometer says 22, you're good to go. If it says 21.1, you're probably okay. You may have some squeaky later on down the road.
But it takes that long to wear down that 1 millimeter?
It takes a while, yeah.
Okay.
Usually 2 to 3 sets of brake pads to wear down a set of rotors to the minimum thickness.
All right. That's great. Dwight, thanks for calling. I hope that helped. Charlotte from Las Vegas has a GMC Arcadia. Charlotte, welcome.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. And when I start the car in the morning, it screams. I was told it's probably my timing. So, and I know for the timing, you got to take the whole motor out in order to get to it and fix it. It's such a big process. Can you tell me a little bit how
Jim,
that works?
I've done a few of those myself. I used to work for Pontiac Buick GMC. You have to do the timing chains.
What's a Pontiac?
Going back a few years, dating myself here.
Yeah.
The best way to do it, the proper way to do it, is to drop the entire engine and front suspension out of the truck. It's not that big of a job if you have done it before. And that gives you full access to the front of the engine, the top of the engine, because the valve cover has to come off to get to the timing chains. And it's a pretty big job, but the timing chains are fairly common on those, especially if it was a before 2015 or so.
I would challenge the diagnosis, though.
I'm sorry?
I would challenge the diagnosis.
Okay, Frank, go ahead.
Yeah. a timing problem will most likely result in a check engine light with a very specific code that it's out of time. There could be an engine performance problem when it's out of time, rough running, misfires, those different things. And generally speaking, when a timing chain is bad, it'll rattle, kind of a noise. So if you're hearing a screeching or a screaming kind of noise, I would encourage you to get a second opinion.
Well, what could a screaming noise be?
Well, we'll go back to the fan belt for the other guy that called in. You know, and especially if it's cold first thing in the morning, a timing problem, it's generally not temperature sensitive. A warm timing chain or timing chain component phasers and all these complicated parts don't get better when the engine warms up.
Frank's 100% right. There would be a code issue if there was a timing chain.
Okay. All right. Great question, Charlotte. Thank you so much. We have this email from Akila in Las Vegas. Says, I broke the spark plug in my 2009 Honda Pilot. I read online that you can tap the ceramic down in the cylinder, then you can remove the tread in the engine. Do I have to worry about piston location when tapping it down?
Yes. I would never tap anything into the cylinder. You risk not getting all the parts out. And on first startup, you could do severe internal engine damage. If the spark plug broke, I got to imagine the threads are still on there to get a socket on there to get it out. There are thread repair kits available that are very high quality for fixing that on the car, as long as it's accessible. But under no circumstances do you want to knock anything into the engine.
Yeah, I hate working on my own, doing anything with my car engine because I don't know what the heck's going on. But is this something like a normal person could do with one of these so-called kits?
No, you have to have a pretty deep skill level.
Okay,
And if this person is skilled enough to be able to fix a broken spark plug, we'd like to offer him a job at Frank's European Service.
There you go. Akila, thank you so much for that call and that question. Shelley from Death Valley, welcome to the program.
Hi. Hi there.
Hi. Go ahead.
Okay. So I have a 2005 Hyundai Santa Fe V6 2.7 liter, and I recently bought it. It has 82,000 miles on it, and it shakes. The brake area and the steering wheel shake after over 65 miles an hour, 65-70.
With your foot off the brake?
No, when I'm driving, yeah, when I'm accelerating.
So, okay, and if you're not accelerating and you're just cruising at a steady speed, does it also shake?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would check tire balance. Jim, what do you think? Tire balance, bad tire, bad wheel?
Definitely tire balance. 30 miles an hour, 60 miles an hour, those multiples are usually indicative of a tire balance problem. Or tire out of round, it could have a bruise from hitting a pothole.
Yeah.
Again, over the phone, I left a test drive stuff to find out.
What do you mean? Tires get bruises?
Well, the belts inside the tire can get damaged from impact and potholes. Like there's none of them in Vegas here.
Right.
But there's lots of curbs that people hit. If you notice the
absolutely.
Curbs
the,
got
the
tire
black.
Marks.
Yeah.
So it can cause a out of round problem where if you're lifted the vehicle up and spin the tire, you could see the bump on the tire from that impact or bruise.
And you can tell at 30 miles and 60 miles, those are two points where you can tell if your tires are...
Yeah. Typically, yes.
Yeah. Well, that's really, really interesting.
If you drive it fast enough, you can drive past the imbalance, but don't do that. It's dangerous. But I would definitely check the balance first. And if it's real bad, it could shake the fillings right out of your teeth.
Shelley from Death Valley, thank you so much for the call. I think this is going to be our last call. Will from Las Vegas, we have about a minute left. Welcome to the program.
Oh, hey, I'll talk quick because I only got 1 minute.
Okay, go ahead.
How are you? Thank you for having me on the air. I got this problem. Once I get over 65, maybe 70, 72 miles an hour, the car starts going woo, woo, woo. Like, it makes it like a little shimmy, shammy. I think I might have some kind of like a bend in my chassis or something.
I love that question, Will. And by the way, it's a 2014 Toyota Sienna. Frank.
Yeah, same thing. Tire balance, wheels, bent wheels and things like that are the very, very first things to check. Check the basics. Something in the chassis that's bent generally doesn't vibrate. It can cause steering problems and tracking problems, but generally not a vibration.
All right, you guys, I'm going to have to wrap it up there. I really want to thank Jim Bull, Chair of the Department of Applied Technologies at the College of Southern Nevada, and Frank Scandura, owner and a mechanic at Frank's European Car Service on North Rainbow. And thank you to those who wrote and called in. It's your calls that really, really make this show. We will be doing it again soon.